Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. Hope you're well. So I wanted to do a quick live stream and give you an update on what is happening in the Middle East. I was actually just out at the golf course and I pulled up Twitter on my iPhone and I saw there was a live stream and the news was obviously very disturbing. If you haven't heard, Iran has sent missiles and drones directly at Israel. And this is seen by some as retaliation for an attack on their, I believe it was something in Damascus that was a, consulate building, something like that. And then for others, they're seeing this as escalation. And this live spaces that I'm listening to right here on Twitter is hosted by Mario Narwhal. And I've been on a couple of his live streams. There's, I believe, about 50,000 people listening. Narwhal, I'm sorry. And he's got some former generals from the United States on there. He's got a lot of high-ranking people that are experts in geopolitics and more specifically military operations. And I'm listening to them for obvious reasons. You know, I'm trying to report the news to you. I don't claim to have any expertise whatsoever in geopolitics, but I want to inform you as to what's going on. And then I want to try to look at this dispassionately for a moment through the lens of macroeconomics. I think Joseph Wang had pretty good timing. If you guys watched my interview with him the other day, he was talking about how his concern with the gold price rising was the message the market was sending us was not that it's worried about inflation, but it's more so worried about World War III. Now, I've been listening to this live stream and trying to take some notes so I could share with you guys on what the experts are saying the probabilities are that this continues into, you hate to go there, but World War III, you can't ignore that risk. You can't just bury your head in the sand. And I think the good news is it sounds like the majority of people are saying this is more, or this is likely to be just simply a retaliation where Iran is specifically sending or shooting, whatever the word is, slower drones at Israel because they know they can defend them. And they're specifically targeting areas that are not going to likely warrant a significant response from Israel. Now, I just before I went live here, when I was listening to this spaces, and if you're on Twitter, I can't suggest it enough. Let me unplug my phone. It's just, you can't see it there. You can just go to Mario Narwhal. Just follow his account. I think it's a great follow. And it's Iran, and go to Spaces, and it's live right now. And they're giving live updates, which I have found are way, way better than the live updates they're giving on CNN or the Wall Street Journal or CNBC's homepage. This is, just real time. That's one thing that Twitter's really, really good for. Yes, Santiago, thank you very much. It's not Mario Narwhal. Narwhal. If you want to, and I think that's my point there was if you want to listen to this and get the real time info as it happens, I think that's your best source. Just tune into that live stream right now or as soon as we get done with this video. So, first thing I want to go over because this really made it real. We as Americans, I don't think we can really fathom what it would be like to be involved with this type of conflict, even if it is just slow-paced drones that are targeted at your city. Say you live in New York or Miami, something like that. And there has been confirmed missile strikes or missile launches from Iran headed toward Israel. Now, we're going to go to Twitter in just a moment here, so you guys can see some real-time updates. I'm seeing some experts say they were just, and I guess that's relative, ballistic missiles, and others are saying they're hypersonic missiles. Again, I'm no expert, but from what I've gathered and jotting down some notes, listening to this live stream from the experts or the spaces, is that that's a big, big difference. And the hypersonic missiles are meant to, are not meant as a response. They're meant as an escalation. But getting back to kind of what it would be like right now to be in Tehran or to be in Israel, look, let's go over to the Wall Street Journal. And I just wanted to show you guys this picture. They're giving real-time updates, which, again, are not as good as, not even close to as good as Twitter. But they showed a picture. Look at this. Josh, can you see that picture? I'm going to assume that you guys can. Oh, yeah. Okay. Josh is here. So he's changed the screen. Good. So you guys can see that picture. This is Israel's what they call an Iron Dome system. And this is their defense mechanism against a missile rocket attack against these drones. And it's absolutely fascinating. But from a human standpoint, just imagine for a moment that you are here in your apartment, in your house, with your family, your wife, your kids, the people you love, and you're looking up in the sky and seeing this. There is no way, even if you were boots on the ground there, that anybody could articulate or communicate what this has to be from a standpoint of just pure human emotion. And they go on to describe how this Iron Dome actually works. And the majority of these experts are saying that what Iran has launched is this time around is specifically meant to not penetrate the dome. It's specifically meant to just show Israel, hey, we're going to push back here and we're not going to shoot anything at you that will penetrate the dome, because we don't want this to escalate. But this is what we're going to do, just showing you that we're going, it's like a tit for tat thing. I mean, it's crazy that this just, we're seeing in global geopolitics, something that effectively is the same thing that you would see on a playground in third grade. And I'm not trying to diminish at all the severity of what's happening, but it's just like that third grade, you know, the two guys and one pushes one, the other pushes the other, the other pushes the other, the other pushes the other even harder. And you keep going back and forth until one of them just starts swinging and then they go at it. I mean, this is basically the exact same thing. Let's go over to, and before we go any further, I want to remind you guys, or I want to remind you of the interview that we had with Joseph Wang, for those who watched it. And if you didn't watch it, I would strongly suggest watching it sometime this evening when you get some time. Because what this shows and what this confirms for me is the idea that insiders will always have inside information. And this is why you see these massive spikes, and it's not just gold, but the inversion of the curve. It's why these things happen, in my opinion, that have such powerful predictive capabilities, because no one should be able to predict these outcomes with this degree of certainty, right? Meaning that there's no macroeconomic indicator that should have the predictive power of the yield curve. It's too hard. It's like trying to predict the weather or some sort of very complex system. It's like the butterfly effect. One little thing over here that you don't even recognize can lead to a financial crisis over there. And so I think that when you do see these things that have highly predictive abilities, it's because you've got insider information. And especially moving forward in 2024 and 2025, if you're like me and believe that we're living in very volatile, very tumultuous times, we've got to really, really pay attention to what the prices and what the market is telling us, not just about what's happening or could be happening to the economy, but more so importantly, what is happening at the geopolitical level. All right, let's get over to Twitter. That's by far the best information I've seen. And we've got stuff. So I'm not saying what's right or wrong or who's right or wrong. I just want to give you kind of the information as it comes up live and then let you decide kind of what the probabilities are. Right here, we've got the BBC states that Israel's Iron Dome is not capable of defending Iran's complex attack. So if you're to believe the majority of these experts on this spaces, the good news is right now, Iran is probably not trying to penetrate this Iron Dome, and they're just sending a message, and then they're waiting for Israel's response, which obviously we hope will lead to some third party getting involved and being able to negotiate a peace deal. But we also, one of the things I wrote down here in my notes is we have several sources saying that Israel has come out and said that their response will be clear and decisive. I don't know what that means. Another thing that I know they've stated in the Israeli media, and I would assume this is true for Iran as well, is they're telling all these citizens to, for the next 24, 48 hours, to remain close or in bomb shelters. I mean, another thing, just stepping back and looking at this through a human level, you've got your kids, your loved ones, your friends, your family, and you're having to flee to a bomb shelter. I mean, it's just something that as Americans, I don't think we can even fathom. I'm going through my notes here, guys. I'm sorry for going back and forth. We'll get back to Twitter in a minute here. I just want to go over these line items, these talking points before, so I don't forget. Some of the people in the space here were saying that some of the experts, and this is not George Gammon, I'm by no means an expert here, they said that World War III, the probability of this escalating to World War III, I mean, some were giving it like a 50-50. Some were giving it a much lower probability, thank goodness. But they said, but most every one of the experts agreed that the probability of this turning into World War III is going to be almost solely based on how Israel responds to this drone missile attack from Iran. Another thing that they're saying is people in Iran are just rushing to go out and buy gas. So this kind of dovetails into the conversation about what this will likely do to energy prices. I mean, if you think about commodity prices going up, oil prices going up, the long end of the curve going up, and then gold more recently, it's tough not to connect the dots to what just happened. Obviously, there are a lot of variables, but maybe gold, I think gold for sure, but maybe oil, what we've seen in copper and the rest of the commodity space has a lot to do with the insiders getting this intel that A, this was going to happen, or at the very least, the probability was so high that they better put on their bets ASAP. Hey guys, I want to invite each and every one of you to join me May 31st through June 2nd in Orlando for Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the annual conference I do, and this year it's going to be absolutely incredible. We're going to have some of your favorites there as speakers, guys like Jeff Snyder, Mike Green, Real Estate, Kenny McElroy. We're going to have Robert Barnes. They're talking about freedom and liberty. Even Rich Cooper is going to be there discussing red pill issues. This event is all about giving you the intel, the insider information you need to not only survive 2024, but thrive. The whole reason I created this event was to give you the tools you need to build the future you deserve for yourself and your family. This is an event you are not going to want to miss. So to get more information, go to rebelcapitalistlive.com. You can see a full list of speakers we've had in the past. You can see clips from past events. And most importantly, you can get your tickets. As we get closer to the event, the tickets go up in price. So you're going to want to get those ASAP at rebelcapitalistlive.com. And we will see you in Orlando, May 31st through June 2nd. Okay, so I want to talk about inflation. I want to talk about prices going up, which is usually what you see in a war. Again, hopefully this won't escalate to that level. But we need to think about what will likely happen short term with markets, and then maybe longer term, and then how we reconcile that with the fact that the banks are not really lending a lot right now. And although there's shadow banks, like I discussed with Joseph Wang, that may be lending, it's an interesting dynamic because they're not creating new money through the lending process like the banks would if they themselves were creating these loans. Another thing that I heard Anas Alhaji, I believe, hopefully I'm pronouncing his name right. I'm trying to find him here on the space. He's someone that Eric, my good buddy, Eric Townsend, talks to quite frequently on Macro Voices. He's an oil expert. And he was asked specifically about what he thought this could do to prices, not just for oil, but pretty much everything, especially commodity driven. He said it's all about the Straits of Hormuz. He said, if this gets to a point where the flow of traffic is interrupted, then you're likely going to see prices just skyrocket. And then it gets to the point where how high can they possibly go until, ironically enough, they start producing deflationary pressures because people have to allocate more and more and more of their overall income to the stuff that they have to buy. So therefore, that's a lot less spending on the stuff that they want, but they don't need. And I was listening to Snyder the other day, and he did an incredible study on oil prices going up, not just in the United States, but how this impacts other economies going back like 20 years. And ironically enough, when we see big spikes in oil prices, it usually doesn't lead to significant growth in the CPI. It's very counterintuitive, but I think it goes back to what are the banks doing? Or what's happening with the circulation of credit or the extension of credit and the overall money supply. So we're going to have to watch bank lending, loans and leases, and then I'm somehow going to try to find a proxy on what's happening with the shadow banking system, like Joseph Wang suggested, so we can see that, you know, let's just not focus on money supply growth or money supply metrics, but let's also focus on how the existing money supply is circulating. And if it is circulating, velocity increasing, then this could be a tailwind to inflation, assuming that oil prices do spike as a result of this. If you have money supply going down and velocity decreasing as well, then I think the prices can only go so high before they start to, before that inflationary tailwind becomes an inflationary headwind. Okay, getting back to Aksay, Mosque are celebrating the Iranian attack on Israel. You know, I always wonder about these videos. You know, it could be something completely different, like they're going to a Rolling Stones concert or whatever, and they're just using this B-roll as footage and claiming it's something else. But I guess we'll have to trust but verify, as Ronald Reagan used to say right now. All right, let's go back and see what else is going on. Well, that's what they're called. They're called air raid sirens. That's the term I was thinking of. You know, you're going to see a lot of very emotional tweets here, understandably so, from both sides. I'm going to try to kind of navigate around those and just get to the bottom line. I've just seen this as 14 minutes ago, Iranian missiles spotted headed toward Israel. Yeah, I mean, it's more of the same. Just these, you can just see these missiles just kind of raining down. Wow. And then, of course, I'm sure you can see the other missiles or rockets or whatever defense mechanism is shot from the Israeli side to take those things down before they hit any targets, based on that Iron Dome. And it's just this back and forth. Breaking, this is 2 minutes ago. Missiles arrive now to Israel from Iran. Interception can be seen from Nablus. Oh my gosh. Wow. I don't know if you guys saw that explosion with the... It's really incredible that people are there just filming this, like from their window. There's 1 minute ago. This is video of Israel's Iron Dome starting shooting down these Iranian suicide drones over Jerusalem. You guys probably can't hear that, but he's speaking Hebrew. You can tell there's a lot of anxiety in his voice, to say the least. Of course, you can hear the ever-present sound of the siren, air raid siren in the background. It's really eerie. You know, more of these videos and more reposting of the same videos as I scroll down. Let's go ahead, and obviously I'd encourage you guys to stay tuned as to what's happening here. I would strongly suggest Twitter for the best real-time information. And this live spaces with these experts is still in progress. And again, that's Mario Nawfal, Nawfal. Let's go over to CNBC. And, you know, just actually before we do, here's an article I just saw on Zero Hedge that I think was from Friday. Bitcoin and stocks plunge as gold rallies in a flight to safety. Going back to what we were talking about with insider information. I mean, to think that George Soros, or to think that Paul Tudor Jones or one of these big hedge fund managers didn't know about this on Friday, I think is just totally naive. So the stock, as they said, the stock market was down almost 500 points on Friday. The 10-year was trading right around 4.5. But that delta between the 10-year and the 2-year has remained pretty consistent. So I'm going to be really interested to see what happens to the 10-year. I guess that also really depends on how Israel responds to this. And what I would imagine is if the response is muted, and if this is just kind of a retaliation and it stops at that from Iran, I would probably assume that gold would sell off a little bit. I would assume that the 10-year would probably hover around the same. I don't think there would be much activity other than gold going down slightly and selling off a bit. I don't think it would sell off much. And then I think the kind of the risk on stuff, like Bitcoin, crypto might catch a bid, the NASDAQ, the market would probably rebound. But then if you get a significant escalation based on Israel's response, then I think you're going to see the dollar rip. I think you're going to see gold rip. And I actually think you're going to see the 10-year treasury yield plummet. I would not be surprised if it was down, you know, under 4% or so. If, and that's a big if, this thing escalates to where even in the mainstream media, they start talking about the potential of World War III. Why is that? Because I think the U.S. market is still thinking, okay, that's way over there. It's not going to really impact things other than just potentially increasing prices in the short term, because oil is going to go up, commodities are going to go up. If there's a problem with ships going through the Straits of Hormuz, we have to take that into consideration, and therefore yields likely go up. It's kind of like an inflation or that an extension of that reflation trade. But as soon as it turns, the narrative shifts to now the U.S. is involved, or the NATO or whoever it is, to where the probability and the mainstream media, I think, again, it's all about narrative. It's all about narrative. Once that narrative shifts to start talking about the probabilities of World War III, that's where I think it's a flight to safety, and you get the complete opposite, where the 10-year and the dollar catch a massive bid. That would be my base case. All right. Obviously, I'm going to be paying attention to this all night and into tomorrow. If I think there's something that I need to inform you guys of, the Rebel Capitalist community, I'm going to do another live stream just like this. So definitely stay tuned. But keep in mind, I've got some pretty good understanding of macro and the monetary system and all these things that we talk about on this channel all the time. But I'm not even a beginner at geopolitics. So I'd really like to encourage you guys for the rest of the evening, if you want to stay on top of what's happening here, and I definitely think you should, go to Twitter and go to this spaces that is still in progress. That's exactly what I'm going to do. So you can get the up-to-date information as to what this is happening. And if you don't hear from me tomorrow, obviously, I'm going to be live streaming on Monday, giving you guys updates, and we'll have to see how this impacts the market. And finally, and most importantly, My thoughts and prayers go out to everyone in Israel and every single person in Iran, every single person in the Middle East. I don't take sides on this. It's just like Russia and Ukraine. I'm for the people of Ukraine, and I'm for the people of Russia. Who I am against are the governments. They're, in my book, they're all the exact same. It's just they're just varying degrees of terrible, and they're varying degrees of evil, regardless of what flag they wave. So my thoughts and prayers go out to all the people, regardless of their nationality, that are involved in this tragedy. And hopefully this won't escalate further. All right, guys, try to enjoy the rest of your evening. And as always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. And we'll see you on the next video.